Amen. And you're at least a little bit awake. We're so glad that you're here today. Look around, give somebody a wave, and give them a greeting that says, I'm not going to pass any germs I may have on to you, but give them a smile, because smiles are contagious. We're so glad that you have chosen to be here with us this morning at Central Baptist Church to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And yes, Ernie, thank you, buddy. There we go. How about now? There we go. It's been a long time, but Ernie had to give me the signal. I accidentally hit my button back there, and I turned myself off. So at any rate, now, once again, we are so glad that you're here with us today at Central Baptist Church. We trust and pray that the Lord is going to bless you in an amazing way. As we come seeking His will today, as we gather in His house, I just want to ask us as we pray here in just a moment that we would be careful to make sure that we're present today. I know a lot of times we come into the Lord's house and we all have things that are going on. There are things that are on our hearts. There are things that deal with our family members. There are things that deal with our jobs and so many other things. So for these moments, just ask the Lord to help you, to say, Lord, just give me these moments to focus upon you and to focus upon your word. So as we begin our time, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity that you give us. Lord, there is nothing more important than our relationship and our walk with you. Father, today I pray that as we have come into your house, Lord, realizing it's no accident that we are here, you have brought us to this place for such a time as this, and you have a word for each and every one of us. Lord, an individual word that is for our lives, exactly where we are. And Lord, I pray that we would be receptive to your word. Father, we know that as we follow you, then you will work out the things that need worked out in our lives. And then, Lord, you will also provide the love and the joy for each and every one of us as we go forward. So, Father, today I just pray that we will, for these few moments, truly concentrate upon you, that our lives may be changed forever. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, as we've been mentioning over the past several weeks, this is the month that we take our North Carolina missions offering. We have been trying to give you some ideas of what that mission offering is used for. It's always a whole lot better when you can connect ministry to what's going on so that you know what it is that you are supporting as you support the North Carolina missions offering. We've covered several things from disaster recovery to dental ministry. There's medical ministry. There's all kinds of things that the state of North Carolina actually has going on that is funded through the giving for your giving through the North Carolina state missions offering. Now, just to let you know, as the Lord leads you to give to that, you can just take, you know, one of the regular offering envelopes. If you need one of those, we can get you that as well. But you can just put NC mission offering on that. We will make sure that it goes to the right place. 100% of what you give designated for NC missions offering goes to support these ministries that you've had some opportunities over the past several weeks to look at. And today we're going to go ahead and show you the last one that we have as we head into the time for collection. And again, you can drop that in the offering plate anytime that you want to between now and the end of the month. But one of the places, North Carolina, actually has a mission camp down in Lumberton. They've been doing a lot of rebuilding from the storms there. These are the things that are taking place that a lot of folks don't even know. They're ongoing from past storms. So today, we want to let you take a peek at some of the efforts, the rebuild efforts from the Lumberton Center.
6 years after Hurricane Florence hit the eastern part of North Carolina, there are still so many displaced families here in Robeson County. They've been living in their home for those 5 years from the storm until now. Our goal is to get as many families back into their home so that they can now go to a safe environment, get back to a normal life again.
We wasn't expecting all of this. I just wanted to get some, you know, plumbing work done, a new roof, because our roof was leaking.
We had plywood just screwed down to where we wouldn't fall through the floor. And now we got a brand new kitchen, brand new floor, and there's nothing here that can hurt us as far as mold and mildew and stuff like that in the new house, because, you know, this is brand new. Thank God for it.
And when the flood came, it came this way, and all the damage. You know, we're just so blessed and so thankful. And, you know, it's not just a house. It's not just walls and windows and cabinets. It's a home. It's where people come to feel safe. They come knocking on your door and they say, hey, I'm hungry, can I get some food? And that's what me and my husband does. We get out and we help feed our community and we give to people. And we thank God for everybody that has come out, that has worked, that has given their time and their money. And if you want to know where your money is going, you come to Lumberton, North Carolina, and you will see where your money is going. I promise you. I'll show you every little neat dime of it. This right here, this just lets us know that God is still in the healing business, the restoring business of giving back. You know, we're just so blessed and so thankful that this is ours.
In closing this home dedication, I would like to share an ancient prayer of blessing for this home. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we humbly ask you to bless and sanctify this house and all who dwell therein and everything else in it. And we ask you to fill it with all good things. At our request, dear God, we pray that you will bless and sanctify this house as you did bless the house of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And may the angels of your light dwelling within the walk of this house protect it and those who dwell in it, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. 249, Glorify Thy Name.
Always love that praise chorus. You know, I sit back and think about it, and kind of takes you to a spiritual realm that I think so often we don't really think about. You know, think about, I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about being in the presence of the Lord? I think too many times what happens is we just get so caught up in life that we don't think about those things. We don't think about the spiritual battles that rage you know, all around us. Because, folks, let me tell you something. You're important. Satan wants to try to grab you for himself. He's wanting to try to make a mockery of God through you. So if you don't see those things, wake up spiritually because they're there. But surely the presence of the Lord is in this place today. And if we listen, we will hear him. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there if you would. We're going to dive into what I consider to be one of the actual most important topics in the Christian faith, because it's one that each and every one of us, at least at times, has had trouble dealing with. You know, so many times we can do great in a lot of things, but all of us have weaknesses in certain particular areas. Yeah, everybody. There's no exclusion to that rule. But here's one that when it comes to the Christian faith, and what we're going to talk about today is one of those things that's troubling for each and every one of us on some level. Maybe you've had victory in this area. Maybe you've had defeat in this area. Maybe you've had a little bit of both. But one of the things that we're going to talk about today, and the main thing we want to talk about today, is forgiveness. What does it mean to forgive? What does forgiveness mean to each and every one of us? Yeah, what does it mean as a receiver of forgiveness, and what does it mean as a giver of forgiveness? As followers of Christ, we are called to forgive just as we have been forgiven. Now, there are times I don't like that verse. How about you? Yeah, and why do I say that? It's not because I think there's anything wrong with it, but I think that sometimes what happens is when we remember what God has forgiven us of, and then he says this, he says, you are to forgive others in the same manner in which I have forgiven you. That's why I don't like that verse, because I know how much I have been forgiven of. How about you? When you think about all the things that God has done, when he has shown his love, his grace, his mercy upon each and every one of us, and he says, the same way I did that for you, I expect you to do that for other people. And you know what? We don't want to do that. No, man, I don't want to do that. I want to have the right to hold aught against a brother or whatever. I don't like what they did. And we always try to run this. We always try to say, but Lord, you don't know what they did. That sounds silly. The Lord knows exactly what they did. But see, we try to use that same argument with God that we use with other people. Now, what I want us to do is look at our text today. Our text comes out of Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to share several verses so that it keeps it within context, but we're really going to discuss one of those particular verses. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We pray that your word would spring forth new hope within our hearts and within our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today where we are in a very special way. Help us to understand the concept of forgiveness. But Lord, more than anything, help us to understand that you expect us to forgive as we ourselves have been forgiven by you. And Lord, we can't even begin to imagine what that's like. Even the things that we know can't hold a candle to what you have so richly blessed and graced us with. So Father, right now, be with us during this time. Speak to each and every one of your children today, Lord, where we are. Speak to our hearts individually, and then, Lord, we pray that you would give us the opportunity to be drawn close to you this very day. As always, Lord, we ask that if there's one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Savior, that today truly would be the day that the saints of heaven would be rejoicing because they have turned their life over to you. So again, Lord, we pray you'll bless our time. In Jesus' name, we ask this prayer. Amen. Now, when we look at those particular verses, you can see that one in particular, which was the verse 13, when it starts telling us what we should do, it says, bearing with one another. Do you get that? Bearing with one another. We've had to do that at times, haven't we? There have been some people that you've had to just bear with, right? There have been some people that have been real easy to be around, but then there are some people that you've just had to bear with. Notice what this says. This is bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That's sometimes a very difficult thing to do. But then he goes on and he gives us the main thrust of what I want you to understand today. Particularly if there is a situation in your heart, a person in your heart, or whatever it may be, that you need to provide forgiveness, here's what this verse says. Now go back to verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must, not should, you must do, meaning forgive them. That's a command. That's not a choice. Sometimes we go to God and we say, well, Lord, you know what? I know you say to forgive people, but you don't know what they did. God says, I know exactly what they did. And then they're like, well, then you know what they did. Then I should have the right to hold aught or unforgiveness against them. God says, no, you don't. We don't like to hear that, do we? See, we've got this idea that we are justified in withholding forgiveness from somebody because of what they did. And let me tell you straight up, the Word of God says you do not. The Lord says you must forgive them in the same manner that I have forgiven you. Now, I've said this a bunch of times, and I'll say it again. When you start to think back over the things God's forgiven you of, it's a pretty long list, isn't it? If not, you're not telling the truth, and you just told a story, and you need to repent this morning. Because all of us have been forgiven of some things. Listen, if there were things, if everybody knew about everybody else's life, we probably wouldn't be able to stand each other. Yeah, you would hear things, and you'd go, oh, I can't believe so-and-so did that. I can't believe he or she did this. I can't believe they thought that way. I can't believe they really felt that way about me over that situation. See, if we knew that, we probably wouldn't be able to stand each other. And yet God knows all of this and still loves us and still provides grace to each and every one of us. And then he says this, when we understand that concept, and I believe we do, when God says, when you need to understand, you know all these things that I have shown my grace and forgiven you of, he says, now, the same way that I forgave you, you need to forgive that person. And we're like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I've said so many times, that's dangerous territory. Because notice what that verse, in verse 13, it says in the very latter part of it, it says, so you also must do. Now let me ask you this. If you don't do that, is there a problem? The answer is emphatically yes. There are several problems to start with. Now I have some notes, but we're not going to worry about them because we got a picnic coming up and they've just kind of flown out the door. But there's some things that we've got to understand that when it comes down to the aspect of forgiveness and God says that we are to forgive, when we cross our arms and when we sit back and say, I'm not going to do it, do you realize that you have done something you don't want to do? Well, you've done several somethings that you don't want to do. Number one, you've been disobedient to a direct commandment of God. That's a sin. But let me tell you the tougher thing. The tougher thing is this. When you withhold forgiveness, the person that you are hurting is you. You are the one who suffers when you don't forgive the other person. We're like, well, I don't see how that's true. Because here's why. You have connected yourself to their sin. And for some people, they have been drug around by that sin their whole life.
Some people today may be the first day that they have felt the burden of that sin lift off of them, because maybe today is the first day in your lifetime that you are going to truly be able to say, I don't like what happened. By the way, forgiving somebody doesn't mean that you agree with what they did. Forgiving somebody doesn't mean that you open yourself up to be taken advantage of again. That's not what it means. What forgiveness means is that truly from your heart, you can sit back and say that no matter what that person did, I forgive them. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes it's one of those, that was a cut that happened in your soul, that's a very deep cut. And I know that that's going to take some time to heal. But forgiveness is something that sometimes, it's not just a one and done thing. Sometimes it's repeated. Sometimes you have to get up the next day and forgive again. Sometimes it's one of those situations where you have to come to grips one more time with what had taken place and come to grips that you are willfully going to follow God's word, whether you like it or not, and say, Lord, I can't stand that person, but I love you. Lord, I am going to do the very best I can to grant forgiveness to that person who hurt me, that person who did whatever it may be, insert whatever your thing is. But Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. Listen, I've had people come to me and say, I don't even know how to forgive this particular person for what they did because it was such a long time ago. Sometimes I've actually been able to sit down with people and said that I have held aught against somebody, and I'd say, why? And they said, here's the really tough part. I don't even remember. I've been mad for so long. I have connected myself to their sin for so long, and I don't even remember what it was about. Maybe some of you are in that situation. Let me say this. According to the Word of God, there is no statute of limitation on forgiveness. Did you hear me on that? You know what, you may be sitting here today, you may be listening to this message today, and you might be saying, you know what, this person did me wrong, this person is a person that I needed to forgive, but they passed away 5 years ago, they passed away 10 years ago, you still need to forgive them. Because until you do, you will not be released from that particular sin. You're just dragging it around. It's kind of like taking a backpack full of rocks and putting it on your back and walking around with it. And then what happens is every time that thought comes up and every time those things happen or another situation, you just put another rock in that backpack. After a while, you get tired of packing around rocks that have no use. They're messing your knees up. They're hurting your health. They're making you out of breath, and they're weighing you down. But what's it like when you start to take those rocks out of that bag one by one, and before long, you experience the freedom? See, that's another point of what we're talking about. When you release, when you forgive, when you disconnect from the sin of another, you will experience freedom like you have never experienced before. I still remember a guy who came to me many years ago, and he said, I've got a problem. And I said, well, get in line. All of us do. He said, no. He said, I have a problem with forgiveness. And it was a situation where the person that he needed to forgive had already passed away. But yet, he had been packing this unforgiveness around his whole life since he was a child. And we got to discuss this particular topic. We got to discuss these particular passages. And I told him, I said, you have got to forgive with all of your heart. Not just give it lip service. And you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of times we give things lip service. Let me give you an example. You had a tiff with your brother or your sister. And mom, being the peacemaker that she is, says, now you apologize to your brother or your sister. How many of y'all have ever done that? Come on now. You've told you, you need to apologize to your brother or your sister for what they've done. You've done that, and if you hadn't, you're telling a story. But yet what happened was, you saw, listen, Mom, you saw it too. But they would go up and go, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Well, see, if you were the one that was being apologized to, that just made you even more mad because you knew it didn't come from the heart. Amen? You're like, oh, man, no, this is not over, Mom. You didn't see the look on their face when they did that. It's like, no, 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 no. I'm not accepting that apology. I'm not accepting that lame forgiveness. Uh-uh. No. Because here's why. Because they really didn't mean it. Right? And that's true. They didn't mean it. They weren't sorry for what they did. They were just sorry they got caught. Are you understanding the difference when I talk about forgiving somebody? Forgiving somebody is not lip service. And see, I explained this to this particular man. And he said, I don't know if I can forgive this person. And I said, according to the word of God, you must forgive this person. And he shared what they did. I said, this is really going to make you mad. It doesn't matter what they did. I said, do you believe God's a God of forgiveness? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you believe that if that man went to God and asked forgiveness for what he had done, that God would forgive him? He balked for a minute and said, yes, I do. And I said, and the word of God says, commands us that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. So if God doesn't hold aught against that person, you can't either. He said, I don't like that. I said, I don't either, but that's what the word says. I can still remember, it was months later that he stopped back by the office. He said, I got to tell you about this. I said, what? He said, yeah, he said, I was laying in bed, and he said, the tears were rolling. He said, I couldn't handle it anymore. And he said, I got on my hands and knees beside my bed, and he said, I begged God, God, help me to be able to forgive this man. For real. Lord, I don't want there to be separation between me and you. And I know that you have told me in your word that I need to forgive. God, I don't even know how to do that, but I need your help because I really want to be obedient to you and I really want to be able to forgive. He said that it was like the weight of the world came off of his shoulders that night. He said, you know what? He said, what the guy did didn't go away. He said, what this person did wasn't just made right because of it. He said, it won't be because he's gone from now. But what got made right that night was the fact that I no longer had distance between me and God, and I was no longer carrying this around because I had failed to forgive this man. And he said, today I walk in newness of light. He said, I can't believe I forgave a dead man. I said, well, guess what else you probably couldn't believe? You couldn't believe that God required you to do that to the point where it took that to give you peace. And he said, that's exactly right. You see, there are people who are walking around on this earth today that have tied, you have tied yourself to somebody else's sin by not forgiving them of what they've done. I'll say this, I am so grateful that God put within my heart and within my spirit the willingness to be able to forgive people and honestly not hold aught against them. Because you know what, I've made mistakes, you've made mistakes, nobody's perfect. I said before, we live in a perfect generation. Nobody makes mistakes anymore. It's always somebody else's fault. Nope, I love the person that says, you know, that's it. I've told you before, when I sit down with counseling, I want somebody someday to come in and tell me, you know what? My mama was great. My daddy was great. My brothers and sisters were great. I have a great job. I'm the one that's just messed up. Nobody does that. You know why? Let's blame somebody else instead of owning our piece of the pie. Today, it's time to own your piece of the pie when it comes to bitterness and a lack of forgiveness towards whoever. Well, it was a long time. No statute of limitations on forgiveness. If you haven't forgiven, you're still dragging that around. I don't care if it happened when you were in high school and you're 90 years old. You're still dragging it around with you. If you can remember it, I promise you're still dragging it around with you. But what are you going to do? Who's going to win in the situation? Is God going to win? Or are you going to win? Forgiveness is something that sets you free. If you want to be free today, you need to be able to release the person. Look, even if they don't forgive you, even if they have an issue with you, you need to forgive them. That, by the way, if you want to really get to somebody, particularly somebody that you've had aught with, forgive them and watch what happens. It makes them mad. You know why? Because you've done the right thing. Because you have cleared your spirit of that situation. You no longer have to walk around with the Holy Spirit going, you need to forgive them, you need to forgive them, you need to do this. You know what's right. You know what the Scripture says. You need to forgive. And some of us have been going around for years and maybe decades going, I don't want to hear you, Lord. I don't want to forgive them. I don't like them. I don't like what they did. I don't think they deserve forgiveness. And did you get that last one? I don't think they deserve forgiveness. Well, guess what? Neither do you. Neither do I. But thanks be to God for His grace. Then he says, Roy, you have jacked things up big time. And I get to go, I know. And I'm sorry. I don't want to do it. And by the way, repentance, we talked about that. That's another message for another day. But repentance says, I know I did wrong, and I turn from the direction of wrongness to the direction of rightness. It's a making a turn, repentance is. So I repent. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be back. I don't want to disappoint God anymore. And I say, Lord, do you forgive me? And you know what he says 100% of the time. If I'm sincere, if I have repented and I turn to him, 100% of the time, he says, you are forgiven. Now, this is I don't want to get into too much of this because it's a different message for a different day. But the thing about it is, too many of us are running around holding on to sin that God's already forgiven us of. We've talked about that before. You know, what's happened is if you've repented and you've carried it to the Father and you've said, Lord, you know, will you forgive me of this? God says 100% of the time, yes, I do. Why is it that we keep bringing it up? Let me tell you why. Because Satan keeps it in the forefront of our mind, and Satan says, well, look at what you did. How could God love you? How could God forgive you? You are a filthy, filthy sinner. And part of that's true, but Satan is the father of lies, and that's a half-truth. See, we are all sinners, aren't we? But we also happen to be saved by grace through Christ. That's where the difference comes in. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And you know what? Satan, how many of y'all has Satan ever reminded of your past sins that you've asked God to forgive you? There's my people. There's my people. You know what's really funny? Is when Satan comes up to you and says, hey man, remember when you did ABC? You know what I like to do? I like to go, no, I don't remember that. Oh, yeah, don't you remember when you... No, I don't remember it. You know why? Because then the next thing I do is I sit back and go, I don't remember. God, do you remember when I did A, B, or C, and C? And God says, no. It's not because God doesn't have a good memory. It's because we've been forgiven. When you're covered by the blood of the Lamb and you ask forgiveness of sins through repentance, God throws it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. So why on earth do you and I keep bringing up our own condemnation in sin? Because we're listening to the devil. I like to stick it in his face. See, part of us, we realize the bad things we've done. We realize where we hurt the master, and yet we let that hang on. Stop it! Stop it! Today, there's a couple things we need to do. Number one, you need to ask God to forgive you. Number two, there are some people in your life that you need to forgive. I'm not saying that you have to go to them. Listen, if you go to them, then you make sure it's because God told you to go to them and tell them you forgive them. Some of you may need to write a letter. Some of you may need to forgive some dead people today. You may need to do that. Today is the day to get that done. And then when you do, here's something else you need to do. You need to learn how to forgive yourself in the manner in which God Almighty has forgiven you. You are one of His children, period. Don't you let Satan badmouth you. Don't you let Satan talk you down. You really want to see some claws come out? You go talk to a mother bad about her child. Them's fighting words, aren't they, mamas? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, how dare you get off talking like that to my son or my daughter? Who you think you are? You want to irritate somebody really fast? Go do that. No, don't do that. Don't take that. Take that metaphorically, okay? Don't do that. Because there'll be bloodshed. Then there'll have to be some forgiveness going on. But you got to learn to forgive yourself. I often imagine when we carry that sin around, I've seen this before. I saw it one time, and just when I saw this illustration, or when I saw this happen, I thought of this as an illustration immediately. But I can still remember a show I watched one time where an eagle had fallen out of the nest, and the eagle had a broken wing. Well, the eagle couldn't fly. The eagle couldn't fly until the wing mended. Once the wing was mended, the eagle could fly again. Folks, when you are burdened by sin, when you are carrying around unforgiveness, it creates within you a broken wing, and you will never soar until you give it to God and until the wing is repaired. One of the cool things about that video was it went through the journey of this eagle's repairing of its wing and its healing and everything else, all the way up to the point when they released it. It was on top of this gigantic mountain, and you could see the valley below, and that eagle went soaring down through that valley. He was free again. You want to be free again? Then you need to exercise forgiveness. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I can tell you this. Sometimes it's through a lot of tears, like the other guy, when you can sit back and say, Lord, you know what? You're not asking me to like the situation. You're not asking me any of that. What you're asking me to do is to be faithful, to grant forgiveness. So, Lord, as best I know how, I want to do that because I want to be right with you. It doesn't mean that what the person did was okay. It doesn't mean that you agree with it. It doesn't mean that they got away with it either. What it means is simply this, that by the grace of God, you are wanting to be obedient to Him, to say, Lord, I forgive. The rest of us in here today, we need to understand that when we have taken things to God and He has forgiven us, then we need to rest assured that He has forgiven us. Do not let Satan keep defeating you over sin that God has already forgiven you from. There's something great about freedom when it comes down to that. You will sail off of the mountain once again. You will glide out over the population exactly the way God intended for you to do. when you're not tied down to the sins of other people, including your own. As we conclude, we need to remember something very important, and that is this, that forgiveness is a choice that we make on a daily basis. It's your choice. God's not forcing you to do it. He's commanding you to do it, but He's not forcing you. That's your choice. It's your choice whether you want to carry around a backpack full of rocks. It's your choice whether or not you want to stay with a broken wing. It may not be easy, but let me tell you what it is. It is necessary for the spiritual growth and well-being of each and every Christian. So we need to follow the example that Christ gave us, and we need to forgive others just as He has forgiven us. And like I said, I know what I have been forgiven of. If I told it, y'all would be shocked and appalled. But guess what? If you told me yours, I would be shocked and appalled as well. It's not about bringing those up. It's about trusting God. Lord, today, I forgive mine enemies, and I'm going to call them by name. I forgive this one. I forgive that one. I forgive what this person said, what this person did, even if they're no longer with us. That's when you sit back and say, Lord, I'm not going to be attached to that sin anymore. Life is too short. Help me, Lord, to forgive. Now, I understand, that doesn't mean that you might not have to say that again tomorrow, because Satan likes to creep in, doesn't he? Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's a process. The healing is a process. Sometimes you got to sit back and say, Lord, remember what I asked you to forgive me of yesterday? Well, I screwed it up again today. So, Lord, I need you to forgive me again today. Now, that doesn't mean that we keep going down that road without repentance. I mean, repentance says, I don't want to mess up again. Remember, we talked back a couple of weeks ago where Paul said, why is it that I do the things that I shouldn't and I don't do the things that I should? We're all kind of there. Two questions. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to begin our time of invitation. Two questions. Number one, first of all, has God forgiven you of your sins to the point of salvation? I mean, have you gone and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. If I don't have a Savior, then I'm going to bust hell wide open this very moment. If I don't draw my next breath, then I know that I would spend all of eternity in hell because I haven't confessed my sin before you. Listen, you are in extreme danger right now. Death knows no age, does it? And if that's you, then I'm begging you, whatever you're doing right now, whether you're part of our online audience or whether you're sitting right here, cry out to God. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's just the beginning. That's just you making a confession before Him. It's not checking the box. Oh, I said the prayer. I'm done. No. You have become part of the family. And when you become part of the family, you're expected to represent the family well. Amen? Well, you mean there's rules? Yep. By the way, people sit back and go, I don't know if I'd call it that because people don't like rules. I'm like, there's rules everywhere. I don't care what you do. You gonna drive? There's rules. You gonna work? There's rules. You don't like the government? There's rules. I don't like paying taxes, but I have to. Right? Yeah. Everywhere you go, there's going to be some authority, so get used to it. Plain and simple. You won't supersede that no matter what you are in life. Even if you wind up being the president, you still answer to some people as well. Don't look like it, but technically you do. But nonetheless, hey, what is it that God said to you today? I want you to be free. I want you to be like that guy who came into my office that even changed his looks because of the burden that had been lifted off of him. He can do that today. Maybe you've trusted Christ, but maybe you have been walking around with your own interest. Maybe you have put separation between you and God. I didn't say you lost your salvation, but sometimes God can put us in the corner in time out. Ever been there? Sometimes when we sit back and go, I ain't doing it, God. He goes, oh, okay. Well, let me give you a little time over here to think about it. Where are my time out people? You've been put in time out by God before? Three of you. Wow, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All three of y'all. Y'all my people. Yeah, you know what that's like. And what's happening is you're like, Lord, I don't want to do this. The Lord's like, I'm not at, remember that one? Mom, Dad ever tell you this one? I'm not asking you to do this. I'm telling you to do this. And you can sit over there in the corner. Of course, I didn't sit in the corner. I was of the generation that got the Board of Education applied to the seat of their learning. Remember that? Pain spoke loudly to my generation. That's the way it worked there. But see, God says, that's fine. You want to do that? There's going to be consequences. It's a broken fellowship. It's not a loss of salvation, but it's a broken fellowship. And you go crying to God, and God's like, I can't hear you. I can't quite hear you because there's something in the way. There's something blocking our communication. Do you know what it is? Yeah, it's that thing we were talking about. That thing that you said, I ain't gonna do it. Give it to the master. Today you can start a new day. And you know what? I know that there are some very hurtful things that people have done to you. I know that there are some things that it seems like they don't deserve forgiveness. But God commanded us to forgive as we have been forgiven. And when you do that, I will make you the promise, God will free you. It will be a freedom you have not felt in a long time. You will enjoy the day. You will enjoy the joys of the Lord, and it will be incredible. Like I said, whether they're with us or not, you still need to forgive them. Listen, what decision has God placed on your heart today? What are some things that you need to do in dealing with Him? I pray that you've trusted the Lord. If you have, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. Don't rob us of that blessing. Maybe you're here today and you've had some things that you've had to get squared away. Great. Listen, if you need an old altar, it's right down here. You come and leave it here, and I will promise you that by the time you get on your feet, the Holy Spirit will have swept that altar clean of everything that you have laid down on it. So what do you need to do? Today is the day. Would you make the decisions that God's put on your heart as we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn number 281, and Brad comes to lead us. Are closed as you do business with God. Like I said, if you came listening today, He said something to you. His word does not return void. What will you do with what God has placed on your heart? Act on it now. Don't let Satan hold you back from that. Remember, he's a liar. He's a thief. He does not have your best interest at heart. Only God does. What has He said to you? This time I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, You are so good to us. The provision that You provide in our lives is something that we won't even really understand until we get to see You in glory. But Lord, we thank You. And as we come to this time where we worship You by giving back that portion that You have asked us to return to You, Lord, I just pray that we might be found faithful, that not only Your work may go forward, but Lord, that You might bless us as givers because we've been faithful and obedient to You. So bless, Lord, the tithe and the offering as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Let me give you a couple of things before we get you out of here. And by the way, don't forget, we are having our church picnic today. It is at Triad Park Shelter. Is it 6? Yes, I see that hand. Yeah, we're going to say 6. If not, just look for people you know. But I think it's when you come in, if you come in the park, I think you go to the left and then go around. And that's and it'll come up on your right. But at any rate, listen, we would love to have you there. Even if you didn't sign up, don't sit back and tell me, I didn't sign up and I didn't bring anything. Come on out to the picnic. 1 o'clock. I will be saying the blessing at 1 o'clock p.m. sharp, okay? Which means I've got to get out of here. So as soon as I get done saying the blessing, I am going to get out of here. So I will be over there at 1 o'clock to say the blessing. We would love to have you. We're having hamburgers and hot dogs. David and the fellowship team are already out there getting ready for us to roll in. Once again, that's Triad Park. 1 o'clock sharp, we'll say the blessing. Also, I know some of you all will be going. You have been praying for Nancy Seaver's family. Our dear, sweet sister, Nancy. If you didn't get to know her, let me tell you, you missed out in life by not knowing Nancy Seavers. That lady loved life and grasped every ounce of it, particularly in her prime. But she went on to be with the Lord this past week. There's not going to be a service, but there is a visitation today And that visitation is from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the funeral home, which is escaping my name in High Point. It's Cumbie Funeral Home, which is right there on 68 in High Point, from 3 to 5. That's the only thing. Supposedly at Nancy's request, there was not going to be a service, but the family will receive friends between 3 and 5 today at Cumbie Funeral Home in High Point. Sweet, sweet lady, but keep that family in your prayers. Also, just want to let you know, birthdays today. Donna is celebrating her birthday today, so give her a hand. We appreciate her as our organist and all that she does. Jason Wall, yours is tomorrow, right? Big shout out to Jason, our sign and sound guy. So those are the two birthdays we have. Remember my family. Today is the first. Today would be, well, today's my dad's birthday, except he's celebrating it in heaven. It's the first one that he's having in heaven today. So going to be kind of tough for my mom. It's kind of tough on all of us. Those firsts are always difficult, even though we know. So please keep my family in your prayers as today would be, well, I call it Dad's heavenly birthday. Let's put it that way. Anniversaries that we've got coming up this week. Mark and Carol Boone on Wednesday. My bride has put up with me for more than 3 decades. I think this will be 32 for us as far as on Thursday. And then on Saturday, David and Tammy. I think he's carrying the money over. So David and Tammy, when you get to see these folks, let them know how blessed they are to have each. Oh, you got another one. When's this one going to be?
Tomorrow.
Lord have mercy. We know, listen, y'all know how to pray for Miss Anderson, right? Because what she gets to put up with. So we will be sure that we've got that one added in there. But to the Andersons, we wish you guys a wonderful, wonderful anniversary as well. And see, you tried to sneak that one by me. So I'm going to make sure the camera gets on you, and I ain't paying you $50 for the shot either. So there we go. But at any rate, listen, when you get a chance, let these folks know how much you appreciate them, that you love them, and celebrate with them either their birthday or their anniversary, whichever the case may be. So let me hit a couple things we've got going on. There won't be any Sunday activities here tonight because we have the picnic. Again, that's 1 o'clock p.m. At Triad Park. On Monday, we do have our D-Life group that's going to kick. Now, I have a time that's 9 o'clock, but that ain't right. It's a pancake breakfast that's going to be at 5 o'clock, 5:45. So 5:45 for the guys that are in my D group, the guys that are in Steve Kelly's D group, or if you want to be a part of the discipleship group, come and be with us. You'll get a free meal out of it. So that's going to be the meal is tomorrow night at 5:45, and then we will actually begin our disciple life or D life sessions. Steve Kelly will actually facilitate the D group after we have our supper. This kind of kicks off our discipleship season as we head into this fall. That also reminds me, since I'm mentioning that, on October the 6th, get it right, we're going to be having a combined service with Awaken, and we're going to have the author of the D-Life material, a fellow named Bill Wilkes, will be preaching that Sunday morning. And part of the reason we're doing that is because there's going to be a D-Life boot camp or training that particular evening. That is going to be coming up, as you can see there, it'll be 4 to 7 on October the 6th. It's 10 or 15, I'm not sure which one it is, but I did tell them this. There's a way to register. There's a barcode, and of course we tried to do that, and I feel like that if we have trouble with it, I'm certainly not going to ask any of our senior adults to do that. So I told them, we're not registering that way. We are going to register by a sign-up sheet, and we will take care of it at the door. And they said, that's perfectly fine. So starting next week, I'll have a sign-up sheet out there for the boot camp. And really what that does, that pays for your material, that pays for your dinner. Be a good dinner that we will have that evening from 4 to 7, and the author of the material will actually be presenting this. This is opened up to our whole association, so there will probably be a lot of folks here that particular evening, or we hope there's a lot of folks here that particular evening. So at any rate, next week we'll remind you that there'll be a sign-up sheet out there so that we'll know how many to prepare for. Let's see, I've covered the boot camp. Wednesday, ladies' breakfast, 9 a.m. at Cagney's. Is that correct? This coming Wednesday? Well, thank you, ladies. Y'all help me out there. Y'all sitting there looking at me like, well, flounder a little bit more up there. Yeah, thank you, Helen. Appreciate you. Yeah. This coming Wednesday, ladies' breakfast, 9 a.m., Cagney's restaurant on Friendly Avenue. And then the men always have their breakfast on Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the Olympic in Colfax. There's no agenda to the guys' thing. It's just come and have a good time of fellowship and just grow in fellowship one with another. I mentioned the October the 6th D-Life. We also, I just want to remind you that September is the month of the North Carolina Missions Offering. So we're taking that offering of the videos you've seen. That's what it goes to. You can just mark that NC Missions Offering. We'll make sure 100% of that goes there so that everything will be good. And also, as a reminder, next Sunday, which is the 15th, Awana will be starting back up from 5:30 to 7. We need kids. We need helpers. You can see either Jana or Jim McDonald for more information on that. There are registration forms on the website that you can go and do a pre-registration if you prefer to do that way. Otherwise, you'll be over here writing something down when you show up. And then also, finally, the 2024 Women's Retreat, which is scheduled for October the 10th through the 13th at Ocean Isle. Where do you stand on that? Two openings. So you can see Miss Marcia back there, who is rested and refreshed from chilling out in Alaska and having a good old time up there. So Marcia can give you any information on that particular retreat. One other thing I'm going to mention before we get you out of here. Actually, there's probably another thing, the blood drive, which is coming up September the 10th from 2:30 to 6:30 in the gym. You can see Katie or Betty. That's Betty over there, Betty Cazito. Wave. Betty can give you any information in reference to the blood drive coming up September the 10th, which will be this coming Tuesday. So at any rate, now, anything else that I have forgotten? There's a lot of stuff that's going on around here. Yep, our Leonard's team, that the CBC Classic Gospel Singers, will have a rehearsal tomorrow at 4 p.m. over in the FLC 116, which is what we're calling our new conference room or the old music room. So it's right across from there tomorrow at 4 p.m. if you were part of that. So at any rate, if you brought something for the picnic, and you have it in the refrigerator, it would be a good idea for you to pick it up and take it to the picnic with you. Otherwise, the staff will be enjoying it all week. So, yeah, don't forget that. There are some things that they had taken over there, but listen, if you brought something and put it in the refrigerator, they didn't get everything, make sure you check the refrigerator and take your deviled eggs or your potato salad or whatever else it is, or we'll just have to eat it all week here at the church. Okay, everybody good on that? Pick your stuff up. We look forward to seeing you at 1 o'clock at Triad Park. So because of that, I am going to keep my mouth shut. I am going to make an exit so that I can get ready to be over there, because everybody will be screaming at me if I don't say the blessing at 1 o'clock promptly, particularly Don Anderson. That's another $50 I owe you. All right, let's all stand. I know you've been sitting a while. I'll dismiss us in a word of prayer, and I look forward to seeing you over at the park here in precisely 1 hour and 3 minutes, right? Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of a church, period, where we can hear your word, where we can draw close to you. Father, right now, I just ask that you would help us in all that we do. Lord, as we go away from here, may we do so filled with the Spirit. May we do so with a free and clear heart. Lord, if there's any lack of forgiveness within any heart in this place or within the sound of my voice, I pray that today would be the day that they would experience true freedom that comes directly from being ministered to by the Holy Spirit when we release that unforgiveness and bitterness. Now, Lord, as we go away from here, I pray you'll bless our time of fellowship at the park. And, Lord, we look forward to continuing to serve you as part of Central Baptist Church. God, we love you, we appreciate you, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, Awaken is joining us at the park as well for part of the picnic. We'll see you there at 1.
Appreciate you.